After a 90-minute delay, the jury was brought in. Mr. John Deere was as spiffy as ever, but the rest were beginning to look tired. It seemed like the trial had been going on for a month. Miss Callie searched me out and gave me a restrained grin, not one of her spectacular day brighteners. She was still clutching a small New Testament. Ernie rose and informed the court that he had no further questions for Lydia Vince. Lucian said he was through with her, too. Ernie said he had a rebuttal witness he would like to call out of order. Lucian Wilbanks objected, and they haggled over it at the bench. When Lucian learned who the witness was, he became visibly upset. A good sign. Evidently, Judge Lupus was concerned about a bad verdict as well. He ruled against the defense, and a thoroughly bewildered Malcolm Vince was called into the packed courtroom to testify. Ernie had spent less than 10 minutes with him in a back room, so he was as unprepared as he was confused. Ernie started slow with the basics: name, address, employment, recent family history. Malcolm somewhat reluctantly admitted being married to Lydia and shared her desire to escape from the union. He said he had seen neither his wife nor his child in about a month. His recent employment history was spotty at best, but he tried to send her $50 a week to support the child. He knew she was unemployed but living in a nice apartment.
"You're not paying for her apartment?"
Ernie asked with great suspicion, glancing warily at the jury.
"No, sir, I am not."
"Is her family paying for her apartment?"
"Her family couldn't pay for one night in a motel,"
Malcolm said with no small amount of satisfaction. Once excused, Lydia had left the courtroom and was probably in the process of fleeing the country. Her act was complete, her performance over, her fee collected.
She would never again set foot in Ford County.
It's doubtful her presence would have inhibited Malcolm's testimony, but her absence gave him free rein to take all the cheap shots he wanted.
"You're not close to her family?"
Ernie asked, a throwaway question.
"Most of them are in jail."
"I see."
"She testified yesterday that a couple of months ago she bought a 1968 Ford Mustang.
Did you help her with this purchase?"
"I did not."
"Any idea how this unemployed woman could make this purchase?"
Ernie asked, glancing at Danny Paget.
"No."
"Do you know if she's made any other unusual purchases lately?"
Malcolm looked at the jury, saw some friendly faces, and said,
"Yeah, she bought a new color television for herself and a new motorcycle for her brother."
It appeared as if everyone at the defense table had stopped breathing. The strategy over there had been to sneak Lydia in quietly, let her tell her lies, verify the alibi, get her off the stand, then push the case to a verdict before she could be discredited. She had known very few people in the county and now lived an hour away. The strategy was unraveling with disastrous results, and the entire courtroom could see and feel the tension between Lucian and his client.
"Do you know a man by the name of Danny Paget?"
Ernie asked.
"Never heard of him," Malcolm said.
"Your wife testified yesterday that she had been having an affair with him for almost a year."
It's rare to see an unsuspecting husband confronted with such news in such a public manner, but Malcolm seemed to handle it well.
"That so?"
he said.
"Yes, sir. She testified the affair ended about 2 months ago." "Well, sir, I'll tell you, that's kind of hard to believe."
"And why is that?"
Malcolm was squirming, suddenly interested in his feet.
"Well, it's really kind of personal, you know," he said.
"Yes, Mr. Vince, I'm sure it is. But sometimes personal matters have to be discussed in open court. A man is on trial here, charged with murder. This is serious business, and we need to know the truth."
Malcolm swung his left leg over his right knee and scratched his chin for a few seconds.
"Well, sir, it's like this. We stopped having sex about 2 years ago. That's why we're getting a divorce, you know."
"Any particular reason you stopped having sex?"
Ernie asked as he held his breath.
"Yes, sir. She told me she hated sex with me, said it made her sick to her stomach. Said she preferred sex with, other ladies."
Though he knew what answer was coming, Ernie managed to appear sufficiently shocked, along with everyone else. He backed away from the podium and huddled with Hank Hooten, just a brief break to allow the jurors to fully absorb the blow. Finally, he said,
"No further questions, Your Honor."
Lucian approached Malcolm Vince as if he were staring at a loaded gun. He picked around the edges for a few minutes. According to Baggy, a good trial lawyer never asks a question unless he knows the answer, especially with a witness as dangerous as Malcolm Vince. Lucian was a good lawyer, and he had no idea what Malcolm might blurt out. He admitted he had no affection for Lydia, that he couldn't wait to get through with the divorce, that the last few years with her had not been pleasant, and so on. Typical divorce chatter. He remembered hearing of the Castellon murder the next morning. He had been out the night before and returned home very late. Lucian scored a very weak point by proving that Lydia was indeed alone that night, as she had testified. But it mattered little. The jurors and the rest of us were still struggling with the enormity of Lydia's sins.